We're going to be continuing our Level Up series. Just like in a video game, you level up to accomplish the mission that the game is designed for. In the same way, spiritually speaking, we must move from spiritual milk to spiritual meat to accomplish those things which God has called us to. And so part of this series has been a pursuit of pursuing spiritual maturity so that we can begin to see spiritually healthy households in Angelina County. We can't see a spiritually healthy home without people pursuing spiritual health. And so with that, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29 this morning. And before I read it, I'll just say this. I don't want to overcomplicate it. That was actually just, I don't know, kind of funny. I pointed to the text and then I shifted and then all the heads went down and up. Like from my perspective, that was just great. So sorry for the deke on that. But when we think about spiritual health, we talked about last week, loving God with our whole being and then loving one another as we've loved ourselves, as Christ has loved us. And so this is sort of the next step, our spiritual heart rhythm last week and then a foundation. So to try not to complicate it, let me just tell you a little story. When I was in Mississippi, we got a Cracker Barrel in our town, and it had been a number of years since I'd eaten at a Cracker Barrel, since we didn't have one just access. And I took a group of students one morning for breakfast. I'm looking over the menu, and the waitress in training comes over, and I asked, "What is in the hash brown casserole?" And she said, "Well, yeah, of course, you have a hash brown and casserole." And I said, "You know what? That sounds great. I'll have some of that." You know, sometimes we can overcomplicate it. It's just hash brown and casserole. In the same way, as we look at Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, love God and obey him. That's the foundation of spiritual maturity, as we see in Matthew 7, is that we obey Jesus. Hash brown and casserole. So now let us read Matthew 7, verse 24 through 29. And Jesus says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So in the outline, I've just given you a little bit of the context of the verses that we just read. The verses we just read are the conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus has been preaching to a crowd of people focused on his disciples, but there's a crowd there on this mountainside. He's been preaching, and then he gives a concluding statement. And in that conclusion is both an encouragement and a warning. And as we think about the fact that these words, again, what Jesus said and what we just read is, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is a wise man. Now, what he's saying is those who specifically have heard the words that he has just preached and puts them into practice, they're like a wise person. But those who hear those words and ignore it or don't act upon them, Jesus says they are foolish. So what were some of these words from the Sermon on the Mount, just as a brief refresher of what's happening in this sermon? Jesus starts with the Beatitudes. Things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit, what does he mean by that? Essentially, he's saying those who recognize that their spirit is bankrupt, it is sinful, it does not measure up. Those who are broken people, Those are the ones that inherit the kingdom of God. That's a very different teaching. They would have expected Jesus to stand up and say, those who adhere perfectly to the law of Moses inherit the kingdom of God. But he says, no, it's those who know that they are broken and poor in spirit. He says, blessed are those who mourn. What are they mourning? Their own sin. And he says, those who are blessed because they mourn over their sin, guess what? They will be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. And there's eight of these Beatitudes that Jesus goes through. Then he moves into a section of, you've heard it said, but I tell you. Things like, you've heard it said, do not murder, but I tell you, if you harbor hate in your heart, it is equal to murder. And so he goes through some of those. Then he gives some practical religious practice instruction. He says, when you want to pray, don't do it in front of everybody. Go into a small closet and pray like this. And he gives them the Lord's Prayer. He says, if you want to fast, don't go out and make everybody know that you're fasting. Go, get dressed, take a shower, and let it be known just between you and God. Then he gets into some ethical teaching and says things like, be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. He says things like, do not judge unless you are judged by the same measure. And then he goes on, and this would have just, I mean, people would have been rolling laughing. We missed something in translation, but this is a bit of humor. Jesus is saying, don't judge other people. It's like this. You're trying to get a speck out of someone else's eye while you've got a 2x4 hanging out of your own eye. And the people would have been like, man, this guy, that's, I hadn't thought about it like that. Like, they would have just thought that was hilarious. And so he's talking about do not judge others. He says, if you have an offering that you're taking and realize that your brother has something against you, leave the offering where it is, go make things right, then you can come back and give your offering to the Lord. I mean, it's just thing after thing. And then he concludes with sort of a series of three examples of the two different paths you can take. There's the example of the wide road and the narrow road that he goes through. Then he says, beware of false teachers because some bear good fruit, some bear bad fruit. And those who bear bad fruit, Jesus says, at the last day, he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And then he concludes with the third of these series of which way do you want to go with, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is a wise man. For when that storm comes, his house will survive because it was built on the rock. But he who hears my words and does not put them into practice is a fool. It's like a guy that builds his house on sand, and when that heavy rain comes in that brings flash flooding, the house falls, and oh, great was its fall. And then that verse 28 and 29 that I included in this, after Jesus concludes the sermon, the people are astonished. They sit back and go, he is teaching in an authority that we've never seen before. He's not like one of our normal teachers, like one of the scribes or the Pharisees. Why does Jesus have such authority? We'll get to this in a second, but just for a brief piece of it is, he's not relying on other people's interpretation of Scripture. See, the scribes would say, sort of like what I'm doing today, Jesus says, how that's how I'm doing. I'm saying my authority comes from the Bible. I'm not standing up here saying, thus saith Todd. Now go forth. You should ignore anything that just comes from me. I have no authority. But the scribes would quote other rabbis and the traditions of teaching, and yet Jesus stands up and says, you've heard it said, but I tell you. He says, if you hear my words and obey them, you're a wise man. And they are astonished by this. So that's a little context for what we're dealing with. And so let's look at first the encouragement this morning. As Jesus concludes, he gives an encouragement. It says this, those who hear and obey the words of Jesus will survive the storm of eschatological judgment. Now, I have specifically chosen the word eschatological not to flex my vocabulary, But because I think it's important that as you study the Bible and as you read different resources, that you know some of these key theological terms. The word eschatological is a fancy way of saying the study of last things or final judgment. And so when I'm saying this, Jesus is giving this encouragement to those who hear his words, put them into practice. He's saying you will survive the final judgment. When the great severe storm of God's wrath on this broken world happens, you will survive because of the foundation that you build your life or your house. Here's the insight there in your outline. Jesus did the work of salvation, so now we obey with a lifetime of obedient gratitude. Now, the reason I want to highlight this right here is I don't want to spend, you know, the next 20 minutes talking about obedience and for anyone to be confused that by you doing something, you can earn salvation, or by you doing enough or a high percentage of things that Jesus said, that will save you in final judgment. That is not what Jesus is saying. He is not saying you can do works to gain salvation. No, we've done nothing. Jesus did the work of salvation. See, he came, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross, not for his sin, but for our sin, that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus and asks for forgiveness will be saved. It is by grace, through faith, we have been saved, not by works. So understand, when we're talking about obedience, this is second to having a relationship with Jesus. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a few moments. But what has often happened is that we have heard of a gospel that is often referred to in like modern discussions as easy believism, meaning there are a number of people who think as long as I prayed a right prayer one time, I can live however I want and I will be fine at the last judgment, at that eschatological judgment. I want you to understand that Jesus is clear. We can't earn salvation by works. But it is also clear that the evidence that we really belong to him is based on the fruit of our work after that salvation. And so when Jesus says, obey the words, you're a wise man, he's saying, if you have a relationship with me, he starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Once you have been saved, it's just natural that we will then, through a lifetime of grateful obedience, serve him and obey him. See, there's this deal where we call Jesus Lord, and he is Lord. But recognize we cannot call him Lord and also tell him no. Many of you that have children or grandchildren, you've had this moment where as a parent or an authority figure, you've told a child to do something and they said no. And then you reminded them that's not an option for you. See, we understand that with a human relationship, but there are so many times we tell God, you know, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that one, God. I know you're asking me to do this, but I just don't want to. And then we come in on a Sunday and go, you are Lord, your name above all names. Jesus is saying it doesn't make sense for us to call him Lord in a relationship with him and then say no to him. And so let's think back to the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, do not be anxious. Do not worry about what you're going to wear tomorrow, what you're going to eat tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worry on its own. And I feel very confident there was a loud amen on that mountainside as Jesus said that. But he says, you know what you do? You seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all of your needs will be taken care of. And yet for so many of us, we say, God, I know you said you'll take care of it, but I'm really going to take care of it. God, I know you said that you're going to provide my food and my clothing, that the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, you take care of them, but I'm just not sure that I really trust you to take care of me. That's in the Sermon on the Mount. That's included in everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice. When Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, be the light of the world. A light is not meant to be under a basket. A city on a hill can't be hidden. No, the lamp goes on a lampstand. And yet so many of us say, God, I know that you've saved me, but I really am uncomfortable being a light at school or at work or on the pickleball court or on the deer stand. God, I'll be a light at church, but there are certain areas. And he just says, we can't tell him no. If he's Lord, he's Lord. And at the end of the day, Jesus is saying, you want to show and bear fruit your relationship to him, hear his words, obey them, and you'll be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the severe storm will come, and that house will not fall. Which brings us to the warning. That's an encouragement. The first part's an encouragement. If you are in a relationship with Christ and seeking to obey him, he is saying at the final judgment, you will survive. Your house will not fall. But he really ends the sermon on this warning, which says this: those who hear and ignore the words of Jesus will experience catastrophe from the storm of eschatological judgment. I want to give you a picture, actually a video, of what it looks like for a house to fall down on sand, on a sand base. Some of you know from maybe the news, the challenges that some folks in North Carolina on the Outer Banks have been having because of erosion on their beaches, and 7 or 8 houses have fallen into the ocean because of erosion of the sand beneath them. So it's not necessarily an exact analogy, but I just want you to have the visual picture. Here's like a 30-second clip of a house falling into the ocean from its sandy foundation. And you can see other houses, pieces of them, up here in the foreground. Can you imagine? All of your furniture, pictures, I mean, from a practical point, your investment, just getting beaten by those waves. And over time, that entire house will be beaten and fall apart to where there is not one board left on another, strewn across the beaches of the Outer Banks in North Carolina. I want you to have that picture, because that's the picture Jesus says for those who hear his words and do not put them into practice. That's the picture at the final judgment. Understand this, those houses, the reason they fell down is not because of poor materials. They're falling down because they built on sand that eroded from out beneath them. At the last day, when Jesus comes again, and there is a final judgment. See, Jesus doesn't mince words. He wants people to understand. It's hash brown casserole. He's saying, on that final judgment, what is your house, your life, really built upon? Is it obedience to Christ or anything else? And if it's anything else, even if it looks like a mansion, even if it looks like a million-dollar beachside property, it will collapse. And Jesus says, and the fall was great. Just before that, in the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about the good fruit and bad fruit of false teachers. and real teachers of God's word. And you get this really interesting statement where Jesus says, there will be those at the final judgment who will say, but we did things in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. And it says that Jesus will look at them and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Now, what's happening there? They're saying, we did things. We did things in your name, Jesus. And yet he's saying, depart from me. I never knew you. He's saying there is a relationship here. You can't earn it. These are people that are trying to earn it without having forgiveness of sin, being poor in spirit, being blessed for being mournful over their sin, blessed for thirsting and hungering over righteousness. I just want you to understand, you can absolutely serve here at Harmony Hill for your entire life, but if you have never repented of sin and accepted Jesus as Savior, all of those good works are still built on sand. Why? Because you were doing it to try to earn salvation instead of saying, Jesus, thank you for giving me salvation. Now I serve you in a lifetime of grateful obedience. Here is another little insight here. Until that last day, the storms in our lives can be a wake-up call. Like that last judgment, that's a huge, severe storm. And so in comparison to that storm, every other storm is small, even if it's big to us. I hope that makes sense. And so what Jesus is saying is primarily be ready for the last day, that eschatological judgment. But it's a fair and appropriate application to say this. In the small storms of our life, financial storms, relational storms, family storms, whatever it may be, those storms that come into our life can be a wake-up call to see what type of foundation we are building on. For instance, when you've experienced a storm, let's just call it a financial storm where you're struggling with some things, or a health storm, do you rely on the rock of Jesus to get you through that? Or do you over here with sand begin to blame and turn away from him? We see this all the time. Jesus even talked about it in another one of his teachings about the four soils. He said there is some soil that goes in and it's in the thorny soil and it grows up and then the world comes in and chokes that plant out. Or the rocky soil that it doesn't have a lot of depth and it starts to shoot up and then the sun beats down and the trials of life cause it to wither and go away. What type of foundation are you building your life on? See, these small storms can offer us a warning and a wake-up call. You know, we have warning labels and warning signs for all kinds of things. Stuff that, to be honest, feels weird and silly and a no-brainer. For instance, like on most hair dryers, there is a warning label that says, please do not use while sleeping. If you're doing that, please stop. The only thing I can think of is that somebody on a cold night turned the hair dryer on, stuck it under the blanket, and then burned their house down. I mean, that's the only thing I can think there. How about this one? There are vanishing ink fabric markers where you can mark on fabric to know where to cut and then it'll disappear. The warning is, please don't use this marker to sign important contracts. I mean, somebody's done it, obviously, or we wouldn't have the label. How about on irons, like for ironing clothes? It gives the warning, please do not iron clothes while they are on your body. There's one for a forklift that I just love. It says, don't die. It's like, okay, that covers a lot of things right there. For most of these warning labels and warning signs, for most of us, hopefully all of us in here, we go, yeah, that's silly. That's an unneeded warning. But they put it there for the people that need the warning. Can I just tell you that Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, it may seem obvious, but he says, I'm going to give a warning for anybody that may need that warning. If you hear my words and ignore them, your house is being built on sand and it will not survive the severe storm of judgment. Which leads me to the last, number three here. The motivation. Be astonished at the unique authority of Jesus. Be astonished at the unique authority of Jesus. I told you that after Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, concluding with the words we're focused on today, that the crowd was astonished. The word there really means it stuck with them. Like for several days, probably, they were thinking about him, his authority, and what he taught. Be astonished. Jesus is not like any other teacher. He has a unique authority because he is God's Son. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that Colossians describes that everything in creation came into being through him, is held together by him, and it is there for him. He has authority to stand up and say, everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is a wise man, and everyone who hears my words and ignores them is a fool. It's a message that should resound because of his authority. But yet I know just from Scripture that those that were gathered for the Sermon on the Mount, who heard these incredible teachings, that they even marveled at them, that later they would turn away from him. Later they would hear those words and not put them into practice. Let us not be fools, but let us be wise and put to practice that which Jesus commands. Soren Kierkegaard gave a sermon illustration one time, and this is essentially it. He said there was a family of ducks, and they were going to go to church, to duck church, and they left their home, and they waddled all the way to church, and they sit in the pew, and the duck preacher got up and preached a sermon about how God had given them wings, and these wings are so amazing, we can take flight. There's no end to where we can go with the wings that God has given. And all the ducks quacked loudly with amens. After the message, they even filed by the duck pastor to say, man, that was such a wonderful sermon, so impactful. And then they waddled home. See, Kierkegaard tells this story to remind us how easy this is to do, to hear God's truth and to simply ignore it when we waddle home. How often do we come and we'll say things like, man, the music in service today was so uplifting, so powerful, and we waddle home. Or we hear a message and go, man, that really spoke to me today. Oh, how powerful. He actually studied this week. And then we waddle home. We walk and talk to other people in the mall area and say, man, it's just so much life-giving energy to be here. And then we waddle home. See, at the end of the day, Jesus says it's about a relationship. I have this quote here from Robbie Gallaty, who's a pastor, and he is sort of a leader in a discipleship movement in our country, and this is a quote that he says in his book, Growing Up. You will never serve him faithfully until you love him fervently. You will never serve him faithfully until you love him fervently. If I could, and I'm closing right here with just a few moments. Last week, the spiritual heartbeat rhythm for spiritual maturity for a spiritually healthy household. Love God with your whole being. And then today, out of that love, of loving him fervently, let us obey him. That's how we show our love for him, our trust for him. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we say, God, we follow you, Jesus, because I want to be on the right way. I want to know truth, and I want abundant life. So I will hear your words and put them into practice. I will faithfully serve you because I fervently love you. I'm about to pray, but I do want to say this. If you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I'm really struggling with obeying Jesus, this may surprise you, but my counsel to you would be this. My counsel would be, don't leave these doors and just try harder. My counsel to you would be, fall more in love with Jesus. My counsel would be, you love Jesus with all your being. And then obeying him will just come as a natural, lifelong, obedient gratitude. In fact, if you're here this morning and you don't even know what it means to love Jesus, but you'd like to, I'd love to talk with you about it. I'll be up here after I pray here in a few moments. You can go to our Next Steps room. Someone would love to talk to you there. But if you came here with someone who's a believer today, someone who is faithfully hearing the words of Jesus and putting them into practice, here's what I know about them. They would love to talk to you about it today. A, B, or C, you choose an option, but let's let today be the day of salvation. I'm going to pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. I don't know if they mentioned it, but Pastor Joel wasn't feeling well, and he wrote a song for today's conclusion, and so with him not being here, that's pretty tough for them to sing a song that he made up. And so I'm going to pray to conclude. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you will stop by the Connect 4 board and by these tables to find where you can serve in our church. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. God, we love you. And out of that love, we want to obey you. God, help us to be a church that loves you with our whole being and obeys you as Lord. No excuses, no rebuff, just obedience. Lord, I pray for the homes, the families, the households that are represented in this room today and watching online. Father, may we love you fervently so that we may serve you faithfully. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.